Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Teresa Sammons.
And we're having all kinds of issues today. Of course, it's the day after Friday the 13th, so yeah. We won't get into what
we
happened.
We sure paid dearly for that one.
Yeah.
We didn't even realize that at the time.
Yeah, well, crap happens, and now we gotta deal with it.
The lack of an episode should tell you guys everything.
Yes. Oh, we did an episode. You just didn't get to hear it.
Didn't get it. Yeah. It's forever lost to the ether.
Yep.
Most amazing podcast that's ever been recorded.
Yep, and no one will ever know. So that's what we haven't been doing. May as well quickly talk about what we have been doing this week. So, you want to start us off, Pat?
Sure. Been getting back to the fighting game side of things for a bit. Locally, the tournament season's starting to pick up again, and so Street Fighter V has been more of a thing. Haven't really gotten the time to check out Guile yet, but I'm really looking forward to finally getting a chance to sit down and try him out, because it seems like a real throwback version with some extra little goodies that he's needed for years and years. And then, of course, King of Fighters 2000 on both PS4 and the arcade version, because my board finally arrived. So
straight from Japan.
Yep.
Awesome.
It was stuck in Osaka for a while, but it finally arrived, and it is now sitting comfortably downstairs in my MVS cabinet. So that's been good times. I kind of forgot just how good 2000 was, especially as a non-Dream Match installment of the series. And of course, as a piece of SNK history, it was that was the original reason I bought it, was just because for that reason it was something I couldn't not have at some point or another. But if you like 2D fighting games, and you know, you want to play one that's maybe not as polished as it could be, but is still thoroughly enjoyable and something that really marks an important time in SNK's history, I definitely recommend downloading the PS4 version that came out a little while ago.
Yeah, it's $10, I think. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Throw SNK $10 and show them that you're hyped for King of Fighters 14.
Yeah.
Hmm.
How about you, Chris?
So I've been trying to get into Trails in the Sky. We talked about this on the show last night, but it doesn't exist anymore. So I essentially had that game since round launch about 4 years ago. Sort of started up on my Vita, and it's like, well, I got my save here. Let me jump into that. And I had no clue what was going on, so I just started over. I just finished the farm quest. We had to fight off the monsters there. And enjoying it so far. Look forward to playing more of that. And hopefully you're going to beat that and get to some of the other titles that have come out after that.
And if you have any questions, then you're surrounded by people who can answer them.
And I've got access to the biggest fan club in the country.
We do have a reputation on this show.
And I've also been playing Tabletop Racing World Tour, some more of that on the PS4. And I'm enjoying it still. They put out a big update to fix some of the bugs, like I mentioned last time. But now it's sort of like frame rate issues with all the physics objects that are in the levels. So that's kind of bugging me. I post about that on Twitter, and the devs liked the tweet, so I think they're aware of it. Possibly going to update that or something like that. It's like, it's still playable, but it's just kind of a bummer. Trying to play all these fun little races and then just having these stupid things all over the place that I'm trying to get through.
Yeah, the more enjoyable a game is, the more annoying those little bugs can get.
And that's something that people get hung up on the internet. Yeah. They like something so much, they let the small things become big things, even though they're
they
small
things. They hate because they love.
Yeah, and then they think, oh, it's a terrible game because all those frame rate issues, that's still completely playable. Yeah. It's perfectly fine. I think I'm about halfway through the career mode in there. Working on upgrading some of these drift cars I've got. And yeah, still fun game. Definitely people that have PS4s should grab that if they have PS Plus because it's free for the month. And the other game I'm playing is Uncharted 4. This week is a great week for people that want good-looking games because Doom and Uncharted 4 are just killing it for all those platforms out there. And yeah, Uncharted 4 just looks fantastic. As I said on the show that doesn't exist anymore, it might be the most natural stealth game I've ever played. Just because the controls are so good in that game. They handle stealth in a really smart way that isn't full of clunky timers and alert statuses and things like that. So when I reach an area where I can sort of be stealthy around these enemies, they don't necessarily just walk one route. That's their whole route. The job is to walk around this box, and that's all they're going to do until the end of time. It's really fun just messing around with some of their AI, taking them out. There's one point where I actually killed a guy, alerted him, he started shooting at me. I just managed to run out, get out of their line of sight, and things kind of went back to normal. And it's just really well done. And they just fill that game with a lot of contextual animation and talk that no other games really do. Because it's all kind of minor stuff that developers aren't necessarily going to spend their time on. But it ends up here being things like Sam, Nathan's brother, is sort of climbing up on walls while you are, but you need to go back across from him. They have special animations.
I saw a really
to try to get through them.
GIF about that.
Yeah, I posted a couple of like quick video clips on my Twitter account of him like hanging off of Sam's back, like grabbing onto his neck and having his feet on his the backs of his ankles, sort of just hanging there and sort of looking to the right, and there's a guard who's alert diamond above him just fills up as he sees this two weird guys hanging off this wall.
Pretty sure that wouldn't go very well for very long.
Yeah. Luckily I end up just going up just killing him, snapping his neck. I really like the option of sort of going all in guns blazing or just being stealthy. It does it a lot better than most stealth games that try to do that, because with like Phantom Pain, that game is a stealth game, but occasionally you could kind of shoot enemies if you want. The shooting in that's not necessarily the greatest. The other cool thing they do with that game is they have these big open areas. Where I'm at in Madagascar, I just got a big Jeep I could drive around, and literally there's just like, it's kind of like a mini open world game right there. Go around and explore, find these towers or little areas of interest, climb up the ruins that are there, sort of find some treasure. There's lots of little interesting things that happen there. And I think there's some more I could have found, but I ended up finding the story tower where it continues on into the more story stuff. I spent probably like a good hour and a half just driving around here and doing that. And there's just a lot to that game, a lot more than in the previous games. And it's really fun to see this sort of have these sort of more sandboxy areas in an Uncharted game where it's been all just linear stuff before. And that's been it. I'm looking forward to playing more of that this weekend. We've beaten it. But yeah, being able to do all this stealth means I'm going to be playing that game a lot more than other people have.
Yeah.
Because with The Last of Us, I probably got about a third of the way through, and I'd probably put about, maybe like 12 hours in. game's probably like a 16-hour game, something like that. Hmm. I already spent most of that just screwing around these stealth areas. So, definitely looking forward to playing more of that. And how about you, Teresa? Doing anything?
Not playing Doom.
Not for lack of effort, though.
Not for lack of effort. I still have a few settings I could dial down, but holy yeah. crap.
I think you're actually CPU bound on that one.
Yeah.
Because it, yeah. I think it really kind of wants four cores at the very least.
It really does. And it's, you know, it shows.
I have to turn that into Mirror's Edge, like pure white rooms. You're going yeah. to play it.
That'd be funny.
That would be bizarre for Doom.
Yeah, I did get a really sweet deal on it, so I don't feel bad. You know, I didn't pay $60 for the game and then $40 for the expansion or the DLCs. I got it really cheap, so, you know, maybe I could put some of that savings into building a new computer.
Now you got motivation.
Well, there's something that we're going to talk about later that already has me planning a new computer.
Planning ahead.
So, yeah, other than that, I've been playing Civ 5. Big surprise, guys.
Yeah. Shocking.
Yeah.
Who's the dick of the week on that game?
Me for fucking losing. yeah. So, yeah, sometimes I turn into a one-trick pony when it comes to games. And, yeah, right now I seem to be that.
Oh, whatever works.
Yeah. So that's it for me.
Yeah. Well, I have been playing Doom. Not as much as I would like to because, well, of a show that didn't happen. And then other things that came up and I haven't had time to actually get back to it. But I do plan on actually playing it more later today and tomorrow after we get done posting and all that good stuff. Yeah, it's very atmospheric. It's very creepy. It's got the right pacing, I think. It feels right.
So it's not the dumbed down console thing that people were worried about before?
No, it doesn't feel that way at all. Yeah, you can play with a mouse and keyboard on the PC, obviously. So we got that going for you. And yeah. I'd like to be able to give you more details, but I haven't played all that much, so I'm just going to say, yeah, playing it, liking it. I'll talk more
about it. You can shoot guys?
You can shoot guys, yeah. They get you the shotgun very, very quickly in this game.
So. The double-barreled shotgun or just the regular?
Just the regular to start off with. Yeah. So, gotta have that. Yeah, and other than that, I've been playing the beta of Forza Motorsport 6 Apex. And, yeah, that's a thing that exists.
So how is that compared to the full game?
It's very trimmed down. It's basically there's 12 tracks out of I don't know how many are actually on the Xbox One version. And there's only like a handful of cars that are actually there. The progression.
So it's like their version of the Drive Club PS Plus edition.
Yeah, kind of. It seems kind of like that. It's basically you do these events in order and finish one, you go on to the next. They got a medal system, so you do better in one race. You can get up to 3 medals per race, and that's all based on score. And you can get higher score by putting the difficulty up and all that good stuff. As far as you know, visually, it's definitely a cut above the Xbox One if you're running it on good hardware.
That's saying something because the Xbox One version is gorgeous.
Mm. Yeah, but. Yeah, this is far, far more detailed.
Wow.
And it's using the same assets, so it just goes to show how much room there really is in that game for improvement.
So does it seem like they're going to be doing more, they're going to be able to expand that into more of a full game?
I think so. Yeah.
And we got a new story, the potential of stuff maybe coming to it.
Yeah, what I think is probably actually more likely to happen is this will kind of be its own little standalone thing that they'll do free to play and it's kind of a testing ground. And then when
Or Horizon 3 or whatever is next.
Like either Horizon 3 or Forza 7 will probably just come out on Xbox One and PC at the same time.
They need to just stop with those stupid numbers.
Yep.
Find something else to call it.
Well, there's one of
Forza
your
Horizon
E3 logs.
3.
Hmm.
Forza 8, colon,
Horizon 3.
Horizon 4,
yeah.
Colon, Infinite Warfare.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. I mean, if you got a PC and you want to play Forza Motorsport, you can't really go wrong in downloading
that. It's free on the Windows Store.
Yeah. Universal
18 gigs, though.
So. Yep, 18 gigs, which is smaller than the Xbox One version. Yeah, that's around 46.
I thought you were just going to say it's smaller than Doom.
Yeah, well, it is.
It is Doom.
Just there's
Doom's like
been hearing so
gigs.
Much about that.
Yeah, Doom's like 43. Well, almost 44. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing this week. And I guess we might as well jump into our news topics. But before that, Pat, you want to give yourself a little plug?
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago I did a YouTube video sort of detailing the significance of SNK's fine-tuning of their identity. And I followed that up yesterday morning with a video that sort of details where specifically they go from here, at least directly from the King of Fighters 14. And a lot of comment sections that I've been looking at around the internet have been calling for Capcom versus SNK3. And there's not a doubt in my mind that the time will come for that. I mean, that's just one of those things that has to happen. But I think that both Capcom and SNK have a lot of housekeeping that they need to do with their own IPs before it's time to really start discussing a Capcom versus SNK3. And I just posted up another video yesterday morning detailing the, you know, where exactly they stand in the way of getting back to that point.
Yeah.
And so if that's a topic that interests you at all, then I definitely recommend checking that video out. The link will be in the show notes.
Cool. Yeah, right. So, moving on, we've all heard about the Panama Papers.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Konami has been found in there. Gee.
Shocking.
Yeah. Of course, Konami comes out and says, no, it's not us. No, really, it's not. It's not. No, it's not us. But, yeah. What
does this not
odds?
Fit everything that they've done for the past year and a half like a glove?
Yeah. It's like, no, we're really not a shady company. We're not.
No, of course not.
Yeah,
that's all in the mafia. That's how it goes.
And
that's
then
a smart thing to do.
Yeah. I think at this point, you know, just anything we hear about Konami at this point is just kind of one of those, really, guys, really.
And bordering on
making money.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be making money to be laundering it. So I guess we're doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't make any games, then there's all this potential profit for what's
maybe
been
it's one of those situations of we can shove it all offshore before we faster than we piss it away.
Yeah, or maybe you shove it all offshore, go under, and then just take a nice payday with all the money we saved up over there.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
It explains why they've been acting so quickly to just sort of burn themselves to the ground.
Could be. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It really does seem like something deliberately done. It's like, it doesn't feel like stupidity at this point. It just feels like malice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's annoying.
It'll be something to follow.
Yeah, for sure. Whether that company that allegedly is in the Panama Papers actually turns out to be Konami, well, we don't know. But
I'd be more surprised if they weren't.
Yeah.
You know, probably, yeah. But the whole thing with Japanese companies, man, everybody owns everybody in Japan.
Yeah.
Everyone has a piece of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all kinds of confused and convoluted. I mean, they even said so themselves. The Japanese corporate structure is very complicated. That's not an excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Isn't that like blaming the dog?
Yeah. Kind of. Dog ate my homework. Oh, dear. So, Konami, you were once great, and now we don't know what you are anymore.
Maybe criminal?
Maybe. Very possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a company that's at least not criminal. We've got Sega, who is allegedly investigating the possibility of Shenmue 1 and 2 remakes for the current-gen consoles.
I love everything about this story. And honestly, Sega, since their whole relocation and restructure last year, has done very little wrong. And so it's interesting to see a move like this. And I'm hoping that they coordinate with Yu Suzuki and his team working on Shenmue 3 so that, you know, if we do get these remasters, the save transfers could work from those to Shenmue 3.
Yeah.
Because that would, I mean, there's a very brief window of time in which they could coordinate something like that, and it's now.
Yeah, that's probably what's likely going on.
Yeah, they've got to make a decision post-haste, and
yeah, and it took them long enough.
Every indication is they're going to make the right decision, so
yeah.
I'm not too worried about that, but hopefully it all comes together well.
Yeah. We'll wait and see. And, you know, we still need to find out more news about Shenmue 3. It's been a little quiet on that front for a while.
Well, E3 is only a month away.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see more of that. Yeah, so Teresa, you want to take us this next one here?
Sure. Miitomo.
I love the story.
Miitomo. They have some new questions, and they are very specifically worded. And I was reading this the other day, and they're doing their market research here by getting people who are playing their free game to tell them what they think shitty games are. So there is a phrase, kusogi, which could be translated as shit game.
Yeah, kusogi. So is basically a it's almost a placeholder profanity that that can swing with the approximate force of fuck and the versatility thereof. And kusoge is a term that has been around for a long time, and as you said, it basically means shitty games. And yeah, the question asked on this Miitomo ad is basically what title comes to mind when you think of shitty games. And coming from Nintendo at this particular moment in time, that is a ballsy question to ask.
Quite.
Yeah. Especially when you got, you know, Star Fox Zero that came out and is not doing well. You got Metroid Prime Federation Force, which nobody wants.
And people take every opportunity to abuse them for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that's getting a fair number of responses.
Yeah.
This is like the equivalent of the roast me pictures. It really is.
Nintendo is asking people to roast them. And in 2016, that's... oof.
Yeah. Because the internet exists.
They're going to get some nuclear-level roasting.
Yes. Yeah. I somebody's going to say Mario and Zelda, and, you know, everybody's got their own opinions on those, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, hey, that's...
If it actually gives them some good feedback, then good work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there will be other outliers just taking an opportunity to bash on whatever game they happen to be grinding an axe against, whether it's Nintendo or not. I just, at this point in time, it seems like it's inviting maybe constructive feedback.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, they did this in Japan, so, you know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do this here because that would be bad.
Yeah.
So.
I think we're a little more vocal than they are.
Yeah, the Japanese are far more polite than we are. let's just call it the way it is. I mean, we're jerks over here.
Yeah.
So,
I just need to be asking on Mitomo, who is your father and what is he doing?
At the same time,
Where'd he go? Oh. Yeah. Oh, no. We lost him.
Patrick's been eaten by the Matrix.
Yeah, Patrick has been swallowed off by the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, you're back. But yeah, anyways, that happened.
Am I not coming through?
Not very well, no.
Yeah, you've kind of turned into a Cylon. Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes Skype works really well, and then there's times where it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Hey, you should double check that we're still capturing.
Who did?
Oh yeah, we're still recording.
Me? Still ticking?
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. So, anyways, let's move on to some Square Enix news.
Yeah, that was.
They've been busy. Yes, they've just announced.
Okay, found the problem.
Okay, good.
They have.
Yeah. Remasters of Final Fantasy X and X-2 coming to Steam. And these are the ones that came out on PS3 and PS4 recently, so shouldn't surprise you too much to see those show up on PC. But they've also got some other stuff that they've announced recently.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this means Dimensions is coming soon to PC, because it would be nice to have a real Final Fantasy game that not everyone has played find its way over there. So yes, Dimensions to PC, please.
Yeah.
And then also over on mobile, Final Fantasy Brave Exvius has gotten a confirmed localization, which is fantastic. I've been looking forward to that one in hopes that it would be brought over, so it's nice to have that confirmed. And hopefully a confirmation of Dimensions 2 will soon follow, because that is also a thing.
Yeah. And they're really doing a lot on mobile over there.
And it's getting a lot of their best and brightest. Like, yeah. Some of their best games going right now are their mobile titles. Which is, it's nice to know that they're still making these games, but to see some, and I know people disagree with me sometimes when I say this, but I use the term relegated to mobile. Mm. I want to play these games on a TV.
Yeah.
That's where they belong, and the sentiment that they have to be, you know, in portable form, you know, sort of off to the side, bite size, whatever you want to call it. It's downright offensive to me. Hmm. And, you know, I'll continue supporting the games because I want to play them, but it's just disturbing that that they're kind of getting brushed aside like this. And that's why I'm happy with all these Steam ports, and why I'm glad that I Am Setsuna is coming to PS4, because it's taking part in a movement to get these games back front and center where they belong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is, you know, the schizophrenic nature of Square Enix that we keep seeing. It's like one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. Meanwhile, their third hand is off to the side doing something else inappropriate.
And it is three hands at this point. I mean,
yeah. Well, east west.
Yeah. Well, there's Square, there's Enix, and there's what used to be Eidos.
Yeah.
It is now Square Enix Europe.
Yeah.
So,
especially when they're doing all this premium mobile games, sort of their stuff, it's $15-$20 bucks.
Yeah.
Just because they can.
But, you know, I actually paid full price for Dimensions when it first came out on iOS.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't regret it one bit.
Yeah.
I sank $30-$40 into that game, and no regrets.
Yeah,
good games are worth the price. You know, if it's $30 and it's on mobile, if it's a really good game, I don't see why being on a mobile platform means that something has to cost $3.
Yeah,
you know, just charge what it's worth.
Yeah, because that's really a bad mindset. It keeps people from putting quality games on there.
Yeah.
And if Square Enix came out and said, we're releasing Dimensions on Steam and we're going to charge $30, $40 for it, I would pay it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's I don't know if I'd pay it again.
That good.
I don't know if I pay it again. I think I would just keep it on my phone.
And yeah, that's sort of the sad part of when some of these good mobile games actually get ported to the consoles. They ask for more, knowing that the market's actually there to pay for that.
Yeah.
People get pissed. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's free on here. It's like, yeah, because nobody pays for it.
Yeah.
You got to put ads and all that just to make money for it.
Yep.
You guys are the biggest cheapskates out there.
Yeah.
You're not pirating.
So we had other Square Enix news. It looks like their profits are looking to be up for 2016-2017, but they also said, kind of snuck that in there and said, yeah, don't expect Kingdom Hearts 3 until mid-2017. Yeah.
Oh, did they seriously say that?
Yeah, they just kind of did.
Yeah, they got Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Prologue. It's coming out this year.
Wow. Yeah, at what point can we start using the term development hell to describe Kingdom Hearts 3?
It's probably pretty close at this point.
I get now they're just taking their time.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. we'll see.
What are they actually paying Tetsuya Nomura to do at this point?
Design more characters with zippers?
Stop.
They already have all the characters with zippers. They don't need any more.
I mean, Vader's got to have zippers. And Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, maybe.
They got to have the zippers on there.
So, yeah, if you were kind of expecting Kingdom Hearts 3 this year, yeah, sorry to disappoint. Not happening. Also, if you were expecting Crash Bandicoot, that may not be happening either, according to Adam Boyes.
Yeah, we covered this story a few months back when something going on over at PlayStation Middle East caused them to tease the Crash Bandicoot reappearance or sequel or something, and nothing ever really came of it, but it caused enough buzz now that Adam Boyes had to come out and say, look, yeah, we haven't reacquired Crash Bandicoot. It is still Activision property. I'm not sure where any of this was coming from if they haven't actually reacquired the IP. It just strikes me as really odd that
that they would even do that unless
they can't add it.
Yeah. Unless of course they didn't acquire it, but they are licensing it. Cuz maybe that's a potential avenue as well. But personally, I think just somebody screwed up over there.
Yeah.
Did something, a little wishful thinking, and, you know,
probably got talked to.
Yeah. So, yeah, kind of.
Do you know why we called you in here?
Do you know what you've done? Yeah. Oh, that sucks. I would like another new Crash Bandicoot in, you know, the old.
Yeah, as long as it's from Sony.
Yeah, as long as it's from Sony, because the other ones kind of sucked. Anyways, so if you're a fan of Forza Motorsport, one thing you kind of noticed is not a whole lot of stock car action going on in there. That may be changing, though. It looks like Forza might be getting the license for NASCAR. That would be huge, to be honest. Yeah. Because, the last NASCAR game came out a couple of years ago, and, you know, while it was okay, it didn't get really a whole heck of a lot of exposure. Put NASCAR into a franchise that's doing really, really well, it would have to be either Forza or Gran Turismo.
And has a lot of simulation credibility.
Yeah. And Gran Turismo, I think, has already done it.
So yeah.
Yeah.
They had virtual Jeff Gordon in GT5, I think.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so their statement on this is basically we'll have more details to share soon.
Yeah.
So they're not saying
three.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not kind of good. No need to really point at the calendar or anything, but it's
just a month. Just gotta wait a month. Yeah. So, yeah, kind of a big story broke this week from Eurogamer. You want to sum this up, Chris?
Yeah, so with Lionhead shutting down, Eurogamer talked to some of the people that work there both recently and in the past and sort of wrote up this huge feature. I'm not going to go through most of it, but there's a lot of interesting stuff in here. Particularly, there's a part about Milo, what happened with that. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, there we go. So talking about the cancellation, some people in the studio were thought it was a stupid idea that would never go anywhere. Others insisted that it was special. It was hindered by Kinect. The thing that was the only part of it.
A lot of things were hindered by Kinect.
Yeah, Microsoft kind of messed that all up.
Yeah, because they changed the hardware right before launch and made it worse. So
then it probably wasn't very good to begin with.
Yeah.
That's why VR seems like it's going to be the full exploration of that sort of idea. There's lots of information here going away from black and white era of Lionhead all the way to now. And they talked a lot about a pitch that was made for Fable 4. This was before Fable Legends was a thing. And it's going to be all steampunky. Bowerstone, the main town that's in all of the Fable games, was going to be blown up into the size of London. Sort of have Jack the Ripper and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde stuff in there. A lot of cool stuff in it. Microsoft said, yeah, no thanks. We want you to do something that fits with their games as a service stuff. So there's Fable Engine that was born out of that. Yeah. And,
that turned out to be a very bad idea.
Yeah, they ended up spending about $75 million on that. And you can see why that was canceled.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really going anywhere. So it's sort of a really bad decision on Microsoft's part, sort of forcing developers into making these games to fit their profile, what they wanted to do. Sort of Quantum Break was part of that, sort of when they wanted to do video, TV stuff all the time. Very much Microsoft was not a huge fan of letting them just do what interests them. There's a lot of stuff in here about how they were just tired of Fable after working on it for 12 years. Microsoft wouldn't let them do something else.
That sounds like something Don Magic would do.
And it's sort of sad to see that the potential that developer had to make some really cool stuff just get forced into the Fable IP, just like they did pretty much for the last half of last gen. Was like, you guys do Halo, you guys do Gears, you guys do Fable, and you guys do Forza.
Yeah.
You want your game every other year. If you don't, you are out. And there's a lot of stuff about the Fable guys had a lot of pressure to perform with compared to the other developers, the other IP, sort of if they weren't doing as well as the other guys. They were going to get, they were not treated very well as a result. So, sort of idea that, you guys did well, but you didn't do as well as Halo. So we're not too happy as you guys.
Nothing does as well as Halo, except maybe Call of Duty.
Gears.
And we see where that's going with these days.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff here. I definitely recommend people reading it, because it's a very big piece. It says like Microsoft was impressed by stuff like League of Legends and Hearthstone and all that, and wanted that out of Fable Legends, which didn't really work.
No, in any way at all did that work.
Yeah, it wasn't the game that Fable fans wanted. It's not really the game that
they wanted to make either. So
yeah,
it was just. Yeah, just a bad situation for them.
Yeah, and so as they shut them down, there's the whole thing with UK employment is that they have to go through a consultation period. Sort of at least allow other companies to come in, take a look at the company and all that stuff, and see if they want to purchase it. Yeah. They had offers, and Microsoft turned them down because they wanted the Fable IP to go with them.
Shocking.
And Microsoft was like, yeah, no.
No, we're not going to do that.
Heaven forbid that any potential buyer would want the company to come with the one IP that represents their lone mainstream triumph.
Yeah. Although, you know, given the talents that's there and the fact that they were pretty much sick of working on Fable anyway,
It
might not have gone well anyway. So,
yeah.
You know.
And they talk about potential Project Phoenix way of saving Fable Legends, which is that the studio would shut down, but those people would form their own studio that would essentially license it from Microsoft.
Yeah.
That would allow Microsoft to essentially write off all that wasted money and sort of potentially start fresh money-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that never worked out.
Yeah, like Microsoft would just like to be done with Fable Legends because... Yeah, it didn't leave a good taste in the mouth of pretty much anybody who played it. So,
and they talked to other companies potentially about continuing it. They could figure a way to license it from Microsoft. Hmm. But it says here, like, there's one thing to license Fable Legends from Microsoft. There's no way they would allow that to be on PS4.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they seem to be scrambling at the end, try to think about how to somehow to stay together and keep their jobs, try to not let it just break them all up, but yeah, that ended.
Yeah, didn't end well. Yeah, it's sad because, you know, Lionhead was a really good studio at one point.
And they just shed talent over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your Molyneux, the Little Big Planet guys.
Yep.
All that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. That's it.
That's a thing. Yeah. So, yeah, we talked a lot on the show that doesn't exist, about Overwatch. one of the things we didn't mention was this story here that Blizzard has basically announced, yeah, you cheat once, you're gone. Permaban.
Yep.
I hope their standards for cheating are really specific.
Yeah.
They are, because they're going to have a reporting option in the game when it launches. It wasn't there for the beta. You kind of had to email them any potential suspicious stuff.
Yeah.
Huh.
But they also caution to people, if you're watching the play of the game stuff that happens at the end of matches, those not going to be necessarily completely accurate to what actually happened. So there might be some things that look weird.
Hmm.
But also that sometimes players are actually as good as they look.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about, because... A lot of the times you'll see players who are actually that good get accused of cheating because of the results they get, and not because of what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
I'm sure Blizzard will be able to tell what people are doing.
Yeah,
they'll definitely do some research before they go into and just people that are salty and just saying,
yeah,
I got killed by this guy so much, he must be cheating.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the same time, Blizzard, I would also be quick to permaban people who are quick to accuse people of cheating.
Yeah. Or at least, you know, a pretty hefty temp ban.
Yeah.
But I mean, Blizzard has experience with this already because they've got several games that are very, very competitive.
Yes.
Hearthstone has actually become immensely competitive.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected that, but, you know, it's almost up there with MTG as far as the fervor of its fan base. It's got they got StarCraft II, which, well, we don't really need to say too much about that, especially if you live in South Korea. Yeah. And, of course, you know, World of Warcraft, which is just the king of MMOs, even to this day. So they're aware of the kind of shady practices people can get up to.
Yeah,
I think this is a good move. I just hope they.
I'm on board with it. I just, once again, I'm too used to the people who equate skill with cheating.
Yeah.
So that's a concern that I just always have whenever talk like this steps up.
Yeah.
But if they can make it work, more power to them.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, match recording, so I'm sure that's gonna, you know, be part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's gonna be like some of the Xbox Live bans that happen where people like, oh, why did my son get banned? It's like, oh, he was on camera nude in Uno games. That sort of stuff. Like, no, you're not going to trick Microsoft into thinking it was unjust.
Yeah.
But that they have all work. The information.
Yeah. Yep. So, cool. Okay, got the. Now we come to the part of the show I'm going to call Teresa's Happy Time.
Yeah, ridiculously excited, also ridiculously sad, because Civ 6 has been announced. It's in October.
Yeah.
And people are already ordering. And it also means that Civ 5, if Civ 6 pans out and is a really good update, that Civ 5 is over, which is kind of sad. But I've looked at the artwork for it, and it looks phenomenal. Whether you're zooming in to see things, or whether, like, most of the time you're zooming out because you want to get a whole picture, the way that they've styled the artwork is really great. And, you know, you wouldn't think that that would mean a lot, but it does. It does, because you're sitting there looking at it, you know, for like 13 hours while you're playing a game. So there's so many new things. I haven't read everything because I don't want to spoil it all. But oh my God, Civ 6 has finally been announced. It's been like 6 years. We're ready.
Yeah, well, it's had a good run. I mean, you know, Civ 5, they put out several expansions for that. Last one, I think, came out last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like they haven't been supporting that game.
No, they have. They've absolutely kept everybody's enthusiasm up while playing it for seriously nearly 6 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people who have thousands of hours logged on this game.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting. And this is why I will build a new machine. This is why.
This is going to be a fun project.
It's
the
Civ
6 machine.
Great. Mm. It's going to be great. But I want to know if like all the Skylake H stuff is going to be out before then or not. So I don't know, because I don't keep up with everything. Yeah. But I will be finding out. I don't think I'm going to need it, though.
No.
Yeah. That'd be a little bit overkill.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know.
If it'll I'm be nice to see the cities actually expand instead of just having like the territory grids just expand.
Hmm.
I know, it's, I can't wait. I gotta get a job, you guys, seriously.
Yeah.
So I can make money for my game and then quit.
You gotta get that paper
route. So that you have time to play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save up enough to get the game and the PC to run it on, and then yeah. Quit so you can play it.
Well...
Reminds me of an N64 commercial back in the day.
Well, at least you're not going to get a second job to buy a PlayStation.
That's true.
I lost my college scholarship my first year because of Civilization I. I know I'm dating myself, but I had a full ride and I lost that sucker.
Oh, dear.
And it was because I was up until like 4:30 in the morning playing.
So that's how long Gandhi's treachery has been going on.
Yeah.
And they got bundles with the Steam controller as well.
They did.
Try to force that out there. Why don't you guys make Civ Rev 3 on consoles?
That pretty much sums up my opinions. That although I like Civ Rev, but. Frankly,
you got Civ 6. Let the console people have something too.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to see a port of Civ 2 on mobile, because that would totally work.
Yeah.
It would totally work. It could work. Forget Civ Rev 3. Let's just bring over 2 again.
Yeah.
So.
fun stuff.
Yes, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it as more things come out.
Oh, definitely. So, let's see, what we got here? Oh, yeah. You know, online petitions, how we all love those. Yeah. Well, apparently, a bunch of fans have launched a petition to Capcom to get Marvel vs. Capcom 4.
Yeah, this in the wake of Disney apparently making some announcements regarding how they're going to be handling the licensing of their IPs moving forward. Apparently this is getting enough traction that Shoryuken has decided to report on it, and I don't know. In theory, I can understand why this is gaining traction. I find Marvel vs. Capcom 3 to be an infinitely superior game to Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And yet we had to put up with that for well over a decade before we got 3. And so it just seems like my luck where a Marvel vs. Capcom game comes along that I find entirely watchable and enjoyable on stream and, you know, at high-level play, and all of a sudden things happen in such a way that it might get replaced sooner rather than later. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, you know, if they were going to go for a Marvel vs. Capcom 4, that would probably mean that Capcom would have to relicense all of those characters.
Yeah.
Get into that licensing hell. Whereas if they, an expansion for Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I don't know what they'd call it after Ultimate, but anyway, they'd have an easier time of it.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that would go better, too.
Yeah. Oh, dear. But yeah, people love their Marvel, baby.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. No, don't get me wrong. I do like to watch Marvel vs. Capcom 3. It's not one of those games I can play, but I can respect the people who do play it.
Yeah, I'm just happy that from what I've... unless something's changed recently, it hasn't yet degraded to the point where you're seeing the same team versus the same team ad nauseum.
No.
There are characters that are kind of coalescing near the top, but... you know, you're seeing some diversity in what teams people are playing and things like that. Whereas MVC2, we had years and years of, you know.
Yeah. AHBB, baby.
Well, no, that was, Cable actually fell off at one point.
Yeah, he did. But
it was Magneto, Storm, Psylocke, I believe.
Yeah.
Or Magneto, Storm, Sentinel.
Yeah. So yeah, interesting stuff. More Capcom news to follow. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, Spirit of Justice. That's an interesting title. Coming to the 3DS in September, and it will be an eShop exclusive. I don't know why.
But they don't want to produce any carts.
Yeah.
Speaking of games getting relegated.
Well, this one's at least you'll get it on your 3DS, but yeah
they skipped one. They skipped the last one. It's Investigations 2, I think. Hollow Justice, I think it was.
Yeah, which I think didn't that come out in mobile for reasons I don't understand.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like I can't follow these like Ace Attorney games anymore. So many of
them. Yeah, have a hell of a franchise going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, you play these?
I played, like, one of the first two or three.
So, yeah, I guess we don't really have a heck of a lot to say on that one. This is a game. It's coming out. If you like Ace Attorney, you can buy it on the eShop.
Yeah, it's more Phoenix Wright.
Yeah. That finally will end off with kind of a geeky story.
Good news, though. I'm thrilled to hear this, and not just because I'm an owner of a CPS2 cabinet.
Yeah. You got a busted pin, but...
yeah.
We'll have to sort that out.
That should be easy enough. But yeah, the board security sort of self-kill mechanism that's plagued CPS2 boards for years and years has been reverse engineered, and now dead boards are, according to a post on Shoryuken, easily fixable.
Yeah. They don't go into too much detail on how this actually works, but by the wording that they used, this is completely open, opening up the CPS2. It basically means that if a board dies, you would change the battery, and then they have the method now to rewrite the key. So you wouldn't have to Phoenix your board anymore, which it basically just amounts to just putting decrypted ROMs on it. You'd actually be able to rewrite a new key on there, and you'd be good to go for the length of the battery at this point.
And thereby preserving the value of the boards as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because Phoenix boards you can get, pretty easily on eBay.
Yeah.
But, it's like...
They just don't keep their value.
No. At least you can play the game if that's all you care about. More power.
Yeah.
But if you want to keep it in as original state as possible, then this is very, very good news.
And as somebody who owns a Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo and Street Fighter Alpha 2 board in their original forms, that's music to my ears.
Yeah. And, You should also point out that this could also mean that the CPS3 might be next.
Oh. Third strike.
Yeah, Darksoft already has a universal cartridge, but not entirely sure how that, not entirely sure what kind of hackery he's doing to get that to work, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So, very good news for arcade fans and people who have, console-ized CPS2 boards, which...
Wouldn't be surprised to see Luke Morse have some kind of feature on this in the near future.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a few CPS2 boards kicking around over there.
A few?
Yeah. I don't know where he keeps everything anymore. He's got living in a tiny apartment now, so... Yeah. But, yeah. So, we actually managed to get through the show, and it actually managed to record. So, that's
yay!
Yeah. So, that's very, very pleasing. I think we're going to wrap it up there.
Be back advised. Tomorrow with a fairly special episode interviewing the My Life in Gaming crew.
Yeah, Corey and Tri-Ace will be joining us, and we're going to talk about their RGB masterclass, and then probably talk about just whatever the hell else comes to mind, because these are cool guys, and they pretty much like pretty much the same stuff we do, so it should be a fun discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we haven't had guests in a while, so it'll be nice.
Yeah. So, with that, I'm Filippo DeNovo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Teresa Sammons.
And we'll see you all tomorrow.